I do hope that those songs minister to you tonight, to give you hope, where you feel like there is no hope. You know, Jesus is on the throne. He knows exactly what you have need of. I just hope you get that down in your spirit man tonight, and don't let anything, I mean nothing, take that out of your spirit man. God's real. He loves you. And we're not in here to play games. We're in here to become children of the Most High God so that God can use us for His kingdom. I don't know if you know or not, but that the yellow fever is now broke out again. It's the worst epidemic they've had in 30 years. It's in Africa, but it also says it's spreading to Europe and the Americas, and here too, amidst the largest outbreak in more than 30 years. They have the vaccine they have. They don't have very much of it, so they're watering it down to give to the people over in Africa. And what's it do? It says yellow fever can cause bleeding from the ears, eyes, and nose, cause organ failure, jaundice, and death in most severe cases. And it's considered such a threat that many African nations refuse entry to anyone who has not been vaccinated. These are the plagues, right? If you know the reason why I know, I mean, you know, when God put the song service together this morning, I can't believe this, but in after bed I got to sort of enjoying it. So, you know, but I know what He's doing. Because after I had the song service together, Charisma came in and I read an article where it says that the church is going to, with what they're going to see with their eyes, they'll be devastated, and they're not going to be able to stand what they see, and they're not going to have any hope. So what has God been telling us? He wants us to get together, you know, get ourselves together so that we can be hope to the hopeless. And these bad times are coming quicker than we would like to think. That darkness is going to come in real quick, like it's already started and it's going to escalate. It's not going to go away. And so what we need to do is we need to get our head out of the sand, and we need to understand that God needs warriors that He can work through. And that we have to be informed and encouraged ourselves so that we can help those who come in who don't know anything. All right. So this is what we're here for. We're here to be taught how to become the vessels of honor that God needs us to be so He can use us to minister to those who have no hope. So tonight I'm going to talk about the four essential steps to become reconciled to God. How does one go about giving things to God? It is so easy to say with our words, oh, just give it to God. We say that all the time, right? Well, how exactly does one do that in action? We have been exploring this very thing, the practical applications of giving things to God. We have focused on what are the four attitudes necessary to recognize our sin and self so we can give them to God. We learned that last night, right? Those attitudes are, number one, daily presenting our bodies as living sacrifices. Number two, denying ourselves. Number three, obeying God's will in action. And number four, in taking every thought captive. Now let's turn our attention to the four essential steps that must be taken each time we quench God's Spirit so that we can be reconciled to God. Every time you sin, do something that's not of God, you quench the Spirit of God, all right? And you always have to be reconciled back to God. As in 2 Corinthians 10:6 says, that is our readiness to revenge all disobedience. In other words, these steps are how we give things to God and how we deal with our sin and self. This is a key to walking by the Spirit. Those essential steps are, number one, recognizing, acknowledging, and experiencing our ungodly thoughts and emotions. Recognizing, acknowledging, and experiencing our ungodly thoughts and emotions. Number two, confessing our sin and self and choosing to turn around from following them. Number three, giving over to God all that He has shown us that is not of faith. And number four, reading God's word and replacing the lies with the truth. Now, we need to how long have we been learning we need to search our own self, our inner self? We have to search ourselves and see what's in there that's not of God. And then when God shows you what's not of him, get it out and give it to him so that we can be cleansed from those ungodly things, all right? Then let's talk about the inner court ritual. Again, the steps we are about to learn are not just something that I have made up, found in a psychology book or self-help book. They are the actual steps that the priest took in the inner court of Solomon's temple in order to deal with their sin and be reconciled to God. The ritual went something like this. First, the priest went to the 10 bronze lavers where they washed their hands and feet before going on to worship. Then they went to the brazen altar where they offered their sacrifices. And finally, in order to be completely cleansed, they bathed totally in the molten sea. Now, these four steps we're going to give you a handout after we're through. And this stuff is on there so that you can remember it. And these four steps here is what you're going to have to do every time you mess up. All right. And we're going to learn why. Well, there's five steps here. After these three steps, the priest went back into the holy place where they changed their clothes and then boldly approached the incense altar to pray and worship God. See, after they did these four steps, the priest went back into the holy place, back before God, where they changed their clothes and then boldly approached the incense altar to pray and worship God. Until they cleansed themselves, they couldn't go boldly before the Father. I believe this is the same cleansing process that the Lord would have us do each time we quench his spirit. We need to literally go through these steps at least once a day, and sometimes as many as two and three times a day, especially if you're going to be dealing with something very difficult or painful. I recommend putting each of these essential steps on 3x5 cards, and we put them on a 3x5 card for you, Sister Nancy did. And keeping them with you at all times, because things will happen when you are away from your Bible and notes and you will forget which step goes first. So keep these cards handy in your purse, briefcase, or in your car until the steps become first nature to you. Remember, if we do our part, God surely will do his. He is always faithful. Isn't that what Katie Sousa taught us? By going through these four essential steps, every time we are confronted with a hurtful remark, a painful situation, pride, fear, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, and so on, is the only way we can stay cleansed and prepared vessels for what God might call us to do next. Now I said, by going through these four essential steps, every time we are confronted with all these things of the world, right, is the only way we can stay cleansed and prepared vessels for what God might call us to do next. If we are not cleansed vessels, we not only won't be available for God's use, but as Isaiah reminds us, we will end up contaminating everyone we come in contact with, making a stink. In Isaiah 3, let's read 16 through 24. Moreover, the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with outstretched necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a jingle with their feet. Therefore, the Lord will strike with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will uncover their secret parts. And that day, the Lord will take away the finery, the jingling anklets, the scarves, and the crescents, the pendants, the bracelets, and the veils, the headdresses, the leg ornaments, and the headbands, the perfume boxes, the charms, and the rings, and the nose jewels. Well, they wore nose jewels in those days, right? I shouldn't have read that. You'll say it's in the word. The festal apparel and the mantles, the outer garments, and the purses, and the mirrors, the fine linen, the turbans, and the robes. And so it shall be, instead of a sweet smell, there will be a stench. Instead of a sash, a rope. Instead of a well-set hair, baldness. Instead of a rich robe, a girding of sackcloth, and branding instead of beauty. So what I said back there was, we will end up contaminating everyone we come in contact with, making a stink. Now we're going to learn more about that. I shouldn't have read any of that because everything I think people shouldn't do is right, or they used to do that, right? I don't want to see you tattooed and earrings in every part of your body when you come in here. These four steps are our own responsibility. The four steps we talked about, the four steps that's on your card, it's your responsibility to do them. You can't call your pastor and say, would you please do these over me? You have to do them yourself. The Apostle John tells us that if we don't cleanse our own feet, which is our own souls, we will not have any part of Jesus. Listen to John 13:8. Peter saith unto Jesus, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. See that? Let's see how this works. First step, recognize self-centered thoughts. The first essential step that we must do in order to be a cleansed vessel for God's use is to recognize, acknowledge, and experience the negative thoughts and emotions, the self-life we are experiencing. Now let's read that again. The first essential step that we must do in order to be a cleansed vessel for God's use is to recognize, acknowledge, and experience the negative thoughts and emotions, the self-life we are experiencing. Please don't fool yourself and say, well, there's nothing wrong with me. Right there is something wrong with you. Amen. Check yourself out. We have already taken our thoughts captive. If you recall, that is one of the attitudes we talked about last night. Now we want to look at them and allow God to give us his insight. Excuse me. We are not to vent our thoughts and emotions. We are not to vent our thoughts and emotions, nor push them down as if they don't exist into the hidden chambers of our soul. We are simply to ask God to expose what is really going on inside of us. The deliverance team understands this. This is what the priest did at the lavers of bronze. The lavers themselves were made of women's looking glass, mirrors of polished metal. As a priest bent over the lavers to wash their hands, what they actually saw was their own reflection, their own true selves in the mirrored lavers. The priest's actions are symbolic of what the Lord requires us to do. In this first step, we are to ask God not only to explain what is going on in our surface conscious thoughts and emotions, things that we can see and feel, but we also need to ask him to shed light on the hidden things in our soul, the things we cannot see. Let's read that again. This is very important you get this down. You have to be a cleansed vessel if God is going to use you. The priest's actions are symbolic of what the Lord requires us to do. In this first step, we are to ask God not only to explain what is going on in our surface conscious thoughts and emotions, things that we can see and feel, but we also need to ask him to shed light on the hidden things in our soul, the things we cannot see. In other words, are there any root causes for our self-centered actions? Ask the Lord why you are reacting so emotionally over what has just happened. Ask him what is really going on inside of you. Now, I'm going to stop there a minute. I said to Teresa, well, I said, it might have been Larry. I said, now I under, and I hadn't written, studied this yet. I said, I understand why I get so upset about the house. Because since Isaiah came into my life, you know, he takes up all my time. And now since I have this sickness, that, you know, that keeps me from doing the things I used to do. You know, I, instead of, you know, if a chair was out of place, you know, I'd go do it myself. Now I say, would you go push that chair back into place, you know? Or if the flower beds needed weeded, I'd just go out and weed them. Now I have to depend on somebody else to go out and weed the flower beds. You understand what I'm saying? So that's the root cause of why I get upset when things are out of place in the house. Or the yard doesn't look the way I should. It's because the root cause is I feel inadequate. I can't do it myself like I did last year. See what I'm talking about here? There's something, there's a root cause making you act the way you do. All right, now, let me repeat this. Ask the Lord why you are reacting so emotionally over what has just happened. Ask him what is really going on inside of you. The surface emotions can often be simply the symptoms of a much deeper cause. If the real root problem can be exposed and subsequently gotten rid of, then the surface emotions will not occur again either. However, if we only deal with the external emotions and never the root cause, the surface problems will come back and back and back and back. Therefore, it is essential that we always ask God to expose a root cause if there is one. You know, just like, you know, I couldn't figure out why I was getting upset about things. And, you know, I would think about it. Then God said, I'm going to tell you why you get upset. So, see, even though I didn't ask God, why do I get upset about this? He knew my thoughts and he told me why I was getting upset. And the deliverance team understands this concept real well, don't you? Because if you don't get down to the root cause of why a person's doing what they're doing and get that spirit out of them, they'll keep coming back for more deliverance until you get that thing out of there. All right, an example, cold, clammy, and fearful. This is a story. I have a dear friend named Trudy who has known the Lord for over 50 years. She has walked closely with him, been a faithful servant, and has obeyed him for all those years. However, recently she shared with me that for many, many years, whenever she would see a sunset, a cold, clammy, fearful loneliness would inexplicably come over her and she would have to go inside the house. She said this happened over and over again, and yet she never understood why. A few years ago, Trudy was at a barbecue with her older sister, and they were sitting together watching a sunset. Again, the loneliness began to consume Trudy, and she excused herself to go inside. Her sister followed her and asked her what the problem was. Trudy told her what she was experiencing and how long it had gone on. Her sister was quiet for a moment and then said, I bet I know the reason why. Then she began to relate an incident that had happened to both of them almost 50 years before. Both girls, along with their parents, were confined to a Nazi Germany concentration camp. Trudy was only 3 years old at the time and her sister a few years older. One evening around sunset, Trudy and her family were out in the courtyard watching some event. When she accidentally let go of her father's hand, got disorientated, and was lost and alone for over 12 hours. Now, Trudy obviously didn't remember this incident because she was too little, but all these years, when she saw a sunset, it triggered the buried and hidden fear of being lost and alone. See that? This reaction to sunsets had occurred over and over, even after she had become a believer. Once Trudy heard the story about the concentration camp from her sister and recognized the root cause of her phobia, she went into her bedroom and proceeded to go through the steps we are now learning. Ever since that day, she has been able to enjoy sunsets without any negative feelings at all. See that? It is true, if we ask God to expose a root cause of our problems and we confess and repent of these, then we can be sure the surface symptoms will not occur again either. However, if we only deal with the symptoms and not the root, we can be sure the problems will continue. God wants to expose the truth to us so that we will see it for ourselves. We can't really deal with our problems unless we are aware of what they are, and God, of course, is the only one who can do this for us. We can't force exposure of these hidden things. Only God can bring them up in his timing and in his way. You know, that's with people who can't love. Somewhere in their life, they were unloved or they were rejected, and that has caused a root problem. And so then they can't love because they experienced that rejection and that not being loved. I was told all my life, you're ugly and nobody would ever want you. And you aren't lovable. So I went through, that caused a root cause, and I went through all my life thinking I was ugly and nobody would ever love me, so I let people abuse me. But see, that was put into my spirit as a very young girl, and I carried it all my life. Are you understanding this? And see, these are the things that God wants to bring out into the open, these root causes, so he can set you free, so the enemy has no more control over you. All right, get along with God. It is important at this point, if you can, to get alone with the Lord so you can go through these steps and deal with your sin and self properly. Always remember, Jesus is the only one who can expose and cleanse these things, and he is the only one who can heal us completely. In order to hear him clearly, we need to be quiet before him. The times you put off going through these steps are the times that you contaminate everyone you come in contact with. Isaiah was right. When we are in the flesh, instead of a sweet smell, we give off a stink. Example, I still remember the time years ago that I took the girls to their school. This is something I read. That I took the girls to their school, and on the way we had an argument. I became really upset at them and started yelling. We pulled into the driveway of the school, a private Christian school, and there stood a dear friend of mine. I immediately pushed down my anger and frustration, put on a big fake smile, rolled down the window and said, "Hi." Whatever else came forth from my mouth at that moment, I still remember as being so phony. Instead of a sweet smile, I know I gave off a horrible stink. Because I got caught dirty, didn't have time to really clean up, and yet tried to act clean, it doesn't work. God knows the truth, and so do I. Amen. You know, if you happen to call me at my home and I've just had a to-do with my, those two little kids, when I pick the phone and say, "Hello," I don't say, "Hello, how are you?" I mean, you know that I'm upset. I just never have been phony, and I just never can put on those fake little things, you know. Now, whenever I find myself hurt, angry, resentful, envious, critical, self-centered, prideful, ungrateful, anxious, afraid, confused, bitter, judgmental, or filled with any ungodly emotion, I try to stop and find some place to be alone with God so that I can go through these steps. Jesus is the only one who can expose and cleanse our sin, and he's the only one who can totally heal us from the inside out. And we need cleanse from the inside out. It is critical to be cleansed in order to respond the way God would have us. Important. Don't ever take a stand with someone or confront someone unless you are a cleansed vessel. Hear that? Don't ever take a stand with someone or confront someone unless you are a cleansed vessel. If you are not clean, it will be self-life out there and not God's life, and the encounter will go poorly. How many of you say amen to that? You've done that, right? The other person will immediately sense your critical and judgmental attitude, react from his defenses. The truth will be hidden and you will sink even deeper into the pit than you were before. If you can first get clean, then you can respond from God's love and his mind. The other person will sense your unconditional acceptance and respond from his heart, and the situation will have a chance to turn around and be healed. Even if you can only go through these steps mentally at the time, then do so. You know, the steps we're going to give you. By mentally, I simply mean that since you are busy and not able at the moment to pull away from the situation, through these steps, the best that you can in your mind. In other words, go through the steps in your mind quickly, you know, before you continue your encounter with whoever you're talking to. Even if that is all you can do, still do it, because it is critical that you not let the sin and self accumulate in you. Too many of us go out there in our flesh and start confronting people, and we make more of a mess than what you had before you went to confronting. Later, you can go back over these steps and take the time to really let your emotions out. That's what putting the sacrifice on the altar is, getting your emotions out, giving them to God so he can have them and you no longer carry them. Acknowledge real thoughts and emotions. It is not only important to be honest with ourselves and acknowledge our pride, our fears, our insecurities, and the doubts that we are experiencing. You hear that? Be honest with yourself. But it is also important to be completely honest and truthful with God. He doesn't mind if you blow up with him. He really doesn't. You can tell him how you feel, you know. And he knows it all anyway, I had wrote down here. He just wants us to see it so we can acknowledge it and move on. One woman not too long ago asked me if she should let her real feelings out. Does God really want me to do that? She asked. God made you. He already knows everything about you. He just wants you to see it and acknowledge it so you can get rid of it and go on with your life. You know, you don't have the right to confront everything that goes on. You just don't have the right to do that. Because you really don't know what's going on, really, deep down inside that person to make them do the things that they're doing. And all you're going to do is make them worse than what they already are. All right, so I said one woman not too long ago asked if she should let her real feelings out. And does God really want me to do that? You know, I can tell you from experience, no, God really doesn't want you to let your real feelings out all the time. He will tell you, you just be still, you just be quiet. Don't do this thing. It's not going to work out the way you think it's going to. Let it alone. Well, I need to talk about it. No, that's yourself wanting to let everybody know, hey, you know, you're not over me. You don't have to talk about nothing. You can say, you know, you chew your tongue about off because you really want to say something. But it's, God doesn't want you to. It's not the right timing. I'm going to tell you what happens is, you know, you want to say something at a particular time, and God says no. And then really you forget about it, and next thing you know, whenever you're least expected, God, it just comes out. Just comes out. You're not even thinking about anything. God just starts speaking through you about the situation. But you know what? It's the right timing, and the thing works out fine. But if you would have done it when you were dirty, you know, you'd have messed it all up. Are you understanding this? I think too many people jump the gun. I have a right to say this, or I have a right to do this. And, you know, you don't. Because all you're doing is you're making the water muddier than what it was before you stuck your 2 cents in there. You know, Jesus had the right to do a lot of things that he didn't do, didn't he? You know, he just let them go ahead and say and do what they wanted to, right? So what makes us think we have the right to do that all the time? You might want to do it. No, not might. You do want to do it. But you don't do it because you know if you do, you're going to get in trouble with God. Because you did it when he didn't want you to do it, when you were dirty. Because let's face it, when we want to say something, we're upset. And we just want to let them know, hey, you know, I know what you're doing, and I'm going to let you know that I know what you're doing. And see, you don't get anything accomplished that way. All right? So God already knows everything about you. He just wants you to see it and acknowledge it so you can get rid of it and go on with your life. Just like whenever I got upset about, you know, the weeds in the flower beds or the house not being picked up the way I like it picked up. You know, I had to give that to God and get rid of it. You know, instead of fussing about it all the time. God has given us a perfect example of this in Scripture. I love David in his book of Psalms. We can so identify with him. David blew it badly, right? And yet in the New Testament, he was called a man after God's own heart. David truly experienced his humanity. Throughout Psalms, we read how he really felt and what he really thought. Psalms 109, verse 5 through 20. David said, you have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. O enemy, destructions are finished forever. And you have destroyed cities. Even their memory has perished. But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Go back to verse 9. It says, for the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. When I read that, I thought about our sign God had me put up out there. A house of refuge in the storm. Isn't that what it says? Yeah. You know, God told me to do that years ago, and I said to Chris, well, God told me to put up a sign saying this, so it's out there, and I didn't know what it meant, but now I know what he's talking about when we put it up there. I had no clue what he was doing. Amen. Just like this sign here about the bridge over troubled waters. I just saw that one day in the store I was in, and I thought, I'm going to get that and put that up for those people. I didn't realize that God was getting ready to do something with that sign. He was getting ready for me to teach about hope and getting ourselves right, you know, and building a bridge for others to cross over. In other words, giving people hope that they can make it because you made it. Here, I got it because I was upset about things that were going on at church, and it wasn't me either at all. It was God wanting me to get the sign because he was going to use me to use it to teach with. See, you just have to be careful what you think you're doing. Because if you're really a child of God and really letting God work through you, God does a whole lot of things through you don't understand. You think it's you and it's really him. Amen. All right, verse 10. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. When he avenges blood, he remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. See what it says? When he avenges blood, he remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me, you who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell all your praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in your salvation. See, David knew everything that God did, and David trusted God with all of his being. I just wish the body of Christ would come to that knowledge and really understand that God can take care of you. You don't need some human being to take care of you. You need to put your trust in God. Human beings were made just so we could have fellowship with one another. It wasn't so that we could put our trust in them and think that they're the only one that can provide. It's God who provides. Are you understanding that? This is why we have so much trouble in marriages, because we have too high of an expectation of our mate. And it's God that wants to fill that need or fill that void and fill those expectations. And we're trying to get a person to do something they are not capable of doing. So you put all that pressure on them, and when they can't supply the need, then you say, "Poof, with you, I'm going to go find somebody who can." You'll never find anybody who can, because God is trying to do that. All right, 15. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they made, in the net which they hid, their own foot is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Meditation. So. They want you to think about that. Meditate on what was just said. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. See that? You think, God, why are the wicked getting away with everything? And here I sit, downtrodden and poor and don't have anything. What's it say? For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. See, if we would just understand we're nothing but human beings, and we need the God of the universe to take control of our lives, because we are doing a poor job of controlling our lives. And I'm hearing God say, and monies. Amen. Now, most of us probably wouldn't go that far in expressing our feelings about others, but at least it validates that we should not be afraid of being completely honest with God. You know, God, David was just pouring his heart out to God. How many of you pour your heart out to God like that? After all, God, your word says you're no respecter of persons. I was praying about healing. I said, God, come on. Your word says that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I'm healed. See, that blood that ran down Calvary's heel has already healed me. Now, what's going on here? Come on. Now, most of us probably wouldn't go that far in expressing our feelings about others, but at least it validates that we should not be afraid of being completely honest with God. By expressing what we really think and feel, we will then know exactly what we are to repent of. You know, when you're out there shooting your mouth off to God about all these things he's not doing, then you understand, hey, I'm messed up. I'm really messed up inside, and I need to get this thing together, right? We will then know exactly what we are to repent of and give over to God in the next couple of steps. And that's your four-step thing you'll be working on. Many times you will go through these outer court steps, but forget to release your true emotions. All right? Either because of time pressures or a lack of opportunity. After a day or so, you will begin to wonder why your peace has not returned. More often than not, it's because you have forgotten to do this very important step. You have to give him, that's your sacrifice, that's your emotions. You have to give them to God when you're doing those four steps. Your real thoughts and feelings are still bottled up within you. Your real thoughts and feelings are still bottled up within you. Consequently, you have to go back and once again go through these steps. Only this time you do it the proper way, genuinely expressing your soul. Only then can you truly become a cleansed and open vessel prepared for God's use. In other words, you have to tell God the truth. You have to be honest with yourself and with God that it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. The other night I was laying in bed praying, and all of a sudden that song came to me. I said, okay, God, what is it I have need of here? What is it that I'm missing or I'm lacking? Let me know so I can get it together. Because all of a sudden I just heard, it's not my brother nor my sister but it's me standing in need of prayer. So there was something that I had missed, and God was letting me know, hey, you're not right here, all right? Come on, see, you know, I want God to be honest with me. I don't know about you. I do not want to walk around in the dark, never, because it gets me nothing but confusion. All right. Let's review the four essential steps. The essential steps are recognizing, acknowledging, and experiencing our ungodly thoughts and emotions. Recognizing, acknowledging, and experiencing our ungodly thoughts and emotions. Number two, confessing our sin and self and choosing to turn around from following them. Confessing our sin and self and choosing to turn around from following them. Satan is always going to bring your past before you. If you don't have a past, he'll try to make you a past. You know, he'll try to say, accuse you of something you know you didn't do. But whatever sin you is in, he's always going to make a way for that sin to be before your eyes. He just is. And I don't know what it's going to take for him to, well, it's him knowing that you truly are not going to give in to that temptation when he sets it before your eyes. Whenever he knows without a shadow of a doubt that you have died to self in that area, then you'll no longer be tempted by it. Too many of the body of Christ are not dead to self yet. So Satan can keep bringing your past sins before you, place them in front of you, and you give in to them. Quit giving in to your past sins. That's the enemy bringing them before you, trying to get you out of the will of the Father. See, you have to do that. That's your responsibility. You just have to tell the devil, I'm not going there no more. I'm just not going there no more. I had to work through being angry there for a season. And I told the devil, you're not taking me there no more. I am not going to get angry. I am just not. Did he go away? No, he let me alone for a couple of days. And then the third day there he was. And I gave in to it. But I said, no, I'm not. I repented. I'm not going there. I'm just not going there with you. And see, I'm telling you, you're not all that and then some. You're not God. You are going to slip. But what you do is when you realize you slipped, immediately repent and get back in right standing with God. All right, number three, giving over to God all that he has shown us that is not of faith. Everything he shows you in yourself that is not of God, give it to God. I know God gets angry, but he's not a what's the other word for anger? Do what? What's the other word for anger? No. Rage. He's not a God of rage. And you watch people, they really get in a rage. And, you know, God does get angry. God's word says, be angry and sin not. And God's word says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. But the body of Christ doesn't do that. Husbands and wives crawl in bed back to one another, or I'm going to sleep on the sofa tonight. You know, the word of God says, don't do that. Don't do that. So, giving over to God all that he has shown us that is not of faith. And really, truly, whenever you're doing something dumb, you know, that's not of God, he will show you if you really want to be shown. But if you don't want to be shown, he's not going to show you. He's not going to waste his time. Because it would be a waste of time for him to tell you, you know, you're in rage. And you just don't care. You go ahead and get angry anyhow. You know, get into rage anyhow. So he's going to let you, what's the Bible say? He lets you go to your own devices. Isn't that what it says? In other words, if you want to be raging, act like a bull in a china shop, go ahead. It's going to destroy you. You understand this? Number four, reading God's word and replacing the lies with the truth. In other words, the lies that the enemy keeps putting in your mind, that little feeble thing, in your pea brain. The lies that Satan's putting in there, get in your word and replace those lies with the truth that's in God's word. Do not allow your brother and your sister to put guilt trips on you. That's the Antichrist working through them to make you believe you're never going to make it. And I know that's why God had these songs tonight, is because he wanted you, the body of Christ, to understand you can make it. There is hope even when you don't see any hope. You can make it. And I hope that went down into your spirit. And I hope that you'll glean from the words and the songs tonight. If you don't want to get in the word or don't believe the word, well, believe the words. Those songs those people write, they've lived those things. You can tell that by that. You can feel that in their words. They've lived that. And so they sit down and write a song about it. But, you know, they say, all right, so they were down, but they got up. You know, they didn't stay down. They got back up again. So guys, you don't have to stay down. I'm talking about everybody. Saints of God, you don't have to stay down. Get back up again. My daddy always said to me, he'd say, Jimmy, you grab yourself by the bootstraps, pull yourself up, dust yourself off, because nobody else is going to pick you up when you fall. You're going to pick your own self up. He told me that from a little girl. You're going to have to pick your own self up. You're going to have to be strong yourself. Nobody else is going to make you strong except you. And I carried it all through my life. And I'm so glad I had a father who was a wonderful, loving father. But, you know, he taught me to be strong. He taught me to get back up and taught me not to stay down. The devil's always going to knock you down. Always. Until he finds out, hey, they're not going to, I can't knock them down anymore. They finally got it. You know? People call me dogmatic, but, you know, I have a forehead of flint. And I'm not going to let the devil, because God gave it to me, and a backbone of steel. I'm not going to let the devil destroy me. I'm going to live a happy life while I'm living. Why live if you're going to be miserable all the time? Right? So I made a choice. I'm going to be happy. I don't care if you want to be miserable. Go be miserable all by yourself. But I'm going to be happy, and you're not going to steal. You've stolen my happiness for a while, but you're not stealing my happiness any longer. See, you're going to have to make a good quality decision of how you're going to live your life and how you're going to let somebody else run your life. The only one who should be running your life is God. And if you're following God and he's in control of your life, then you're going to be the child of God you're supposed to be, and you're going to be walking in love. And believe me, the minute you don't walk in what the enemy perceives as not love, they're going to come right back. Oh, well, you call yourself a child of God. Come on. So get ready for that kind of junk too. Oh, you think you're so holy? I don't think anything I know. See, you have to know that you know that you know that you know you're a child of God. You do. And I'm not being arrogant, but you have to know. If you don't know, the enemy's going to walk all over you. And he's going to try to tear you down on every turn. Saints, we're here tonight to learn to be strong and mighty in the Lord. We're here to learn it's time that we put the devil under our feet. He doesn't have no control unless we give it to him. My first husband told me, he said, whatever a woman lets a man do, that's what he'll always do. I was married to him 3 days and he backhanded me. I left him. I said, you're not going to hit me ever again. And my mother, after 2 weeks, made me go back to him. But when I got pregnant with my first child, he started running on me, and I never said anything because I was away from home. I was pregnant, and I didn't know what to do. So from that moment on, he ran on me for 45 years. Whatever a woman allows a man to do, that's what he'll do. You hear me? So come on. I learned a lesson from that, though. I learned that you make your own life. You make your own happiness or your own sorrow. And I made myself happy all those years. I didn't go down in the Molly Grubs with him. I was happy all those years. So what are you going to do with your life? Are you going to do what God tells you to do? Are you going to, you know, go ahead, somebody pass out those things, whoever has them. Are you going to do these four steps whenever you get all upset? You know, get yourself cleansed so that God can use you as a vessel of honor that he can work through. You know, I was studying this and putting this all together, and don't you know, I blew it before I left home. I thought, you know, I don't have time to go cleanse myself. but you know, that's the way the devil works, doesn't he? He just works overtime trying to get you to blow it. But you know what? I'm here tonight, and I might have blown it, but on the way here, I asked God to forgive me, and you know, and I'm going on. So are you going to go on, or are you just going to stay where you're at, stagnant in that hole? We're all going to move on, aren't we? Every one of those songs was telling you, you don't have to stay where you're at. Every one of those songs gave you encouragement and hope that you can make it. So, you know, God knew what I was going to teach on. He knew what songs. I have never heard these songs before. And, you know, when he was taken there, I said, God, what are you doing? But, you know, nothing would go together that I wanted to do. And so I just let God go ahead and put it together. And God knows all things. All things. This doesn't know one or two things. He knows all things. Aren't you glad you don't know all things? One time God asked me to do something. I did it. And I said, God, why didn't you tell me what I was going to go through? He said, because if I would have told you ahead of time what you was going to go through, you wouldn't have done this for me. So he said, I let you go ahead and do it. And then learn day by day. So, you know, it wasn't that God he's not cruel. He just needed you to do that assignment. And he knew that you would not be able to do it if you knew everything you had to go through. Because who's going to put yourself in hell? Amen. But day by day, as we walked it out, God was there to strengthen us. And God was there to encourage us. And God shed his love upon us. And we was able to do what God called us for to do. You know, every one of us in here are called to save a soul, to pull a soul out of hell. And when you're pulling a soul out of hell, the devil is mad at you. And the devil's going to beat you up because he wants that soul that he has. And he's upset with you because you're pulling it out of the throes of hell. So you have to be strong in the Lord. If you're going to go out there and win souls, you're going to have to be strong in the Lord. Because when you're reaching, trying to pull them up out of hell, the devils are trying to pull you down in hell. And he's fighting your family, tooth and nail. You know, and he's stealing everything from you. He can steal from you. He's trying to get you to stop. But we don't stop. We keep right on going. Amen. I would really hate to think I spent all my life following God. And right before I died, I did something stupid and went to hell. Wouldn't you hate to do that? Well, you would just kick yourself all over hell when you got down there if you did that. It's not worth it. It's not worth it at all. All right, these were four essential steps that we need to take to become reconciled to God after we've sinned, after we operate in the flesh. That's what this teaching was all about. So you can take your little notes that I gave you. You can go over them, and then I hope you do the four the steps that's on that little, in that little card. Nice. Sister Nancy, yes. Connell did that. I found out she's pretty talented. They gave me a gift last night. I said, what's these little red boxes? So they gave me two little red boxes. One was from Brett, one was from Nancy. I opened the one up, and it had a card there with my name on it. And then there was a diaper and a pacifier. And a beautiful card they wrote telling them they were giving me their pamper and their pacifier, and they were growing up. And then Brett did the same thing, and they wrote a real cute note in there. I thought that was precious. They said, we're giving you our pamper and our pacifier, and we're going to grow up and be warriors. I think warriors is the word you use, like God wants us to. I have to bring them, read them, because it's really neat. I said, hey, them little two little Jaspers are talented. I'm going to have to pull on their talents here. Amen. So now don't go out. How many Pampers am I going to get tomorrow night? And pacifiers. But, you know, this is what God wants all of us to do. He wants us to get off the milk and get onto the meat. And this is what they're telling me is what they're doing. And I've never seen anybody work as hard as what Brett's doing, is trying to get himself up out of the hole. I'm really proud of him. He's really working super hard at trying to do and become everything God's calling him forth to become. And he'll be a good example when he goes out on the road of what I used to be and what I am now. You know, he's not sitting around beating himself up because what he used to be. He's trying to be everything that God wants him to be. And every one of you in here can do the very same thing. You don't have to stay what you used to be. You really don't. You can become the woman or man of God that God wants you to become. But that's your decision. I can't make that decision for you. Tonight, if you really want to have the anointing to continually walk in the presence of the Lord and not have to keep going back and repenting and going back and repenting, then God said if you come up, he's going to give you an anointing that'll make you a strong tower, and you won't have to keep going back into that pit over and over and over again. And you won't have to go back and keep making the same mistakes that you've made in the past. The altar's open. I'm asking each and every one of you as you come up to believe and trust God that he's able to do what he said tonight. And what you're really doing is you're standing here, you're telling God to cleanse your soul, to cleanse your vessel, to make you a vessel of honor that he can work through. A vessel that won't shame him when you're out there in the road. Come on, just empty yourself out. Just empty yourselves out. And just allow God to be God. It's revival time. Revival is all about getting yourself right. It's all about being cleansed from the inside out. The anointing to destroy every yoke is here tonight. God always meets his people. Just crucify the flesh. So here I come, God, pride and all. Strip that thing from me right now. You know, when I was first born again, I really wasn't any type of sin. And I was in this church, and every time they gave an altar call, God would make me go to the altar. And I would say, God, people think I'm in sin. He said, I need somebody to lead my people. And so every time I went to the altar, the whole church got up and went to the altar too. So, you know, even if you don't have sin in you, maybe if you're all right with God, if you would be the first one to come to the altar, you'd be surprised how many people would follow. Everybody's afraid to be the first one up, you know. So are you a leader or are you not a leader? This is a question that you have to hold before yourself tonight. Are you a leader or are you not a leader? Can you do this thing that God's calling you forth to do?